Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a fabulous Friday, and we wish you and your loved ones a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row for the first time Director Bao Nguyen. We all know that ESPN has been on quite the roll of 30 for 30s when you think about The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, Lance with Lance Armstrong. Bao Nguyen is the director of Be Water, the Bruce Lee documentary that will air Sunday night on ESPN at 9 o'clock. Bao, thank you so much for taking some time. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you all doing?
We are doing fine. I guess just starting out with a basic one, what led you to take this project on?
I think for me, growing up as an Asian American, I wasn't used to seeing too many people that looked like me on screen. And so when I did see an Asian or Asian American, it was either as a villain, as the enemy, or as kind of the bumbling servant. And I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I saw Bruce Lee, I kind of saw myself, and it was awe-inspiring because here I finally saw an Asian American who was the hero, the leading role in a film. And it was that moment where he became the symbol, this icon of representation of Asian American empowerment of the immigrant American too. And since then, I always followed him again as his icon, but I realized I didn't really know much about his story and all the struggles that he went through. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about representation and diversity today in Hollywood, but in the 1960s, for someone like Bruce Lee to make it big, I really wanted to find out more about that story and the struggles that he had to go through.
Bao, we have Ken Rogers on here a lot with NFL Films, who's done some 30 for 30s that are pro football related, and we always talk about subjects that have and have not been taken on as far as projects, and he always tells us that, you know, when you're dealing with football back in the late 60s or early 70s or early 60s, just finding footage can be such a challenge. I mean, you were dealing in Bruce Lee with a subject who died in 1973. How challenging was it to find really good footage that you wanted to support your story?
Oh, it was very challenging because in Hong Kong, where he grew up, Hong Kong's a very dense city, and there's not much room for storage. So we went to Hong Kong, our research team, our producing team, hoping that there would be like tapes and film canisters of footage of Bruce Lee that maybe some people haven't found. But we soon realized that because Hong Kong is such a dense city, people would just tape over things and discard of film canisters. So there were hours of Bruce Lee interviews that people never got to see after their broadcast because the news would just literally tape over them.
Wow.
And that was definitely difficult. But again, as you said, like the 1960s, it's not like today where everyone has a phone and they can film every moment of their life. And we were lucky enough to kind of get access to the Bruce Lee Family Archive, which gave us a lot of photographs, a lot of writings, and some video footage. But Bruce Lee has been around for, Bruce Lee passed away, over 40 years ago. And since then, there have been some hardcore fans that have been looking for Bruce Lee footage and lost footage for the last 40 years, yard sales and swap meets on the weekend. So they've been doing this job for 40 years of archival research, and they unearthed a lot, but it's hard to find anything really new. So I thought for the purpose of this film, it was about talking to people maybe who haven't talked about Bruce Lee in so long or ever. In the case of his first girlfriend, Amy Sandbo, she talked to us on camera, and that was the first time she talked to any documentary crew about Bruce Lee. I think it was important when we couldn't find the visual archive that we found the story archive in a way.
Well, and as a follow-up to the footage question would be a people question. I mean, Bruce Lee was rejected by Hollywood in 1971. He returned to Hong Kong and completed four films before his death. What kind of luck did you have getting in touch with people from Hollywood? Because now we're basically talking 50 years ago when you're talking 1971.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have sadly passed away, and other people are in their late 70s, 80s. There's a few people that don't have email, that don't even have cell phones. So we had to do it the old-fashioned way of knocking on doors and calling landlines. And so that was a definitely another challenge for the film. But again, because of the perspective of Bruce Lee's story that I wanted to tell, where it was looking at Bruce Lee the person, looking at his struggles as an Asian American, looking at the struggles of the Asian American as a whole, because I think that racial history is not so well known to a lot of people. The people who knew Bruce best were willing to talk, even though they've been kind of talking nonstop about Bruce since he passed away.
You're listening to Bao Nguyen, the director of Be Water, the Bruce Lee documentary set for this Sunday night at 9 o'clock on ESPN. You're listening to Bao here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Thanks again for the time, Bao. I'm curious, of all the different interviews you did, who did you find the most surprisingly interesting, if that's an appropriate phrase?
For me, it was Amy Sandbo, who I mentioned earlier, right? His first girlfriend,
right,
in America, because she had a really interesting story on her own. She was Japanese American. She was living in the internment camps when she was a child, and so she went through a lot of kind of this racial inequity very early on in her life, and she knew Bruce before Bruce was Bruce Lee. She knew him when he was just a year or two in living in America, when he was kind of an awkward guy, romantically awkward, as she says in the film, almost nerdy. And can you imagine a nerdy Bruce Lee?
No. But,
she talked about all these stories about Bruce and how she really taught him the importance of what it meant to be Asian American. Because at that time, just coming from Hong Kong, He felt like an outsider as an Asian, but he also wanted to try to find his way, his path towards being an American. And she really placed this emphasis on, you know, in America, the beauty is that you can kind of converge and be both, be not just Asian, not just American, but Asian American, and you know, be proud of that identity. Even though Bruce, of course, in his life didn't want to be judged on the color of his skin, on where he came from, I think it was important for him to have his own strong sense of identity and sense of self, and she helped teach him that.
Without getting too much into specific storylines, Bruce Lee kind of reappeared in the headlines within the last year or so because his family was not happy with the way he was portrayed in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in the Tarantino movie. Do you get into that, or were you already beyond that in your filmmaking?
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny story because we were almost done editing the film when the film came out in America. We actually edited in London, and it didn't come out for like a week after the U.S. release. So when the film did come out in America, I had all my friends in the U.S. messaging me saying, "Have you seen the film? Have you seen the film?" And I was focused on making my own film, making my own Bruce Lee film. And when Once Upon a Time eventually came out, I was just like, okay, I just got to see it because I don't want a spoiler alert. I took a break from the editing, and I watched it. And I could understand a lot of people's criticism towards how Bruce Lee was portrayed. And I think it's definitely a caricature version, a fictionalized version. But our film is very different, right? Our film is looking at him as a whole person, as a humanistic, you know, full human being, person with, again, struggles, with multi-facets to him. And I would never necessarily tell another filmmaker what type of film that, you know, or what type of story that they could tell. But I knew that my film was different from that, from Tarantino's version.
The in this sports vacuum, ESPN has wisely dedicated Sunday night to this run of documentaries. For you, the filmmaker, I mean, some of The Last Dance was roundly criticized. It was watched by record-setting audiences. Lance didn't do as well in terms of the audiences, but it got a little more critical praise. Does this bigger spotlight, is it make you a little more anxious, or how does that affect you as more people and the spotlight view your product?
I mean, I'm very grateful that, you know, this film will be on ESPN, which is such a huge platform, and I think hopefully the other aspects of Bruce Lee's life, again, the racial struggle, the story of the immigrant American, will help open up these different perspectives of who Bruce was and all the different facets of his life beyond just the martial artist, beyond just the film star.
You're listening to Bao Nguyen, the director of Be Water, the Bruce Lee documentary that airs Sunday at 9 o'clock on ESPN. Bao, of course, The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, that was moved up from June to kind of help fill a void. Did that result in any shuffling of the timetable for you to release Be Water?
Yeah, I mean, we were right in the middle of our film festival run. After our premiere at Sundance, we were supposed to play South by Southwest, and we obviously, with the pandemic going around, a lot of things were canceled. So we had to shuffle around the strategy of the film and the release strategy, and it got moved up. But it seems like it's a very timely piece for what's going on in America.
All right, Bao, when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, just the first thing off the top of the head. Are you ready to play?
Sure thing, yeah.
Okay, what is your favorite Bruce Lee movie?
Enter the Dragon.
What is your favorite 30 for 30?
OJ Made in America.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite motion picture of all time?
Favorite motion picture of all time? There's an Italian film called Bicycle Thieves that, if you haven't seen it, it's from the 1940s.
Wow.
Really good.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in one word.
Tall.
And I guess we should ask, how awkward or how funny do those scenes look when Bruce Lee and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are standing next to each other?
I mean, I didn't, people, when people see it, they start laughing, but maybe, one person is short and yeah, there's just, I mean, I think it's more interesting just to see how fast Bruce is and then how he's trying to get around Kareem, who can kind of reach him without even moving in the room. Right.
In your filmography, you did, Live from New York, a look back at the 40-year anniversary of Saturday Night Live a few years ago. Who's your favorite Saturday Night Live character of all time?
Favorite character of
or,
all
or
time?
Or actor, oh, yeah. Comedian.
Actor, okay. I mean, I always, they said, like Lorne Michaels always said that the cast that you grew up in high school or college, I should say, is the one that you are most connected with. And that, for me, that was Chris Farley.
All right. Excellent work.
Well, listen,
Val. Down by the river.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Great stuff. We're all looking forward to Sunday night at 9 o'clock, the Be Water Bruce Lee documentary that you directed, and we really appreciate you taking some time here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
All righty. Bao Nguyen, the director of Be Water, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.